Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. And with these words, our Lord breaks right through the trap that the Pharisees are trying to set for him. But it raises, I think, an interesting question for us to ask. What belongs to Caesar, and what belongs to God? The first thing that comes to my mind when I think about what belongs to God is our worship and our service. That's what we're called to do, is to serve and to worship God. Now, this isn't in the text of the gospel. The text makes reference to an inscription. But on the Roman coin, there would have been an image of Caesar, and the inscription would have said, "The Son of God." Because the Romans, the Caesars, had appointed themselves as gods, and they were forcing people to worship them as gods. And so the current Caesar was the Son of God, according to them, because his dad was God. And so the Romans tried to force the early Christians to do the same, to worship Caesar as God. But the Christians knew that true worship belonged to God alone and not to Caesar. And so when the Romans tried to force the Christians to worship Caesar against their conscience, whether through torture or threats of death, the Christians refused, and many of them went to their death. And these are many of the early martyrs that we honor, like the names in the first Eucharistic prayer, Felicity, Perpetua, Agnes, Cecilia. These were all martyrs who gave their life because they refused to worship false gods. They gave to God what belonged to God. The freedom of conscience means the ability to follow God's laws without hindrance. And conscience is so central to the common good because it's our very purpose here in this world. Our purpose is to know, to love, and to serve God. And so to be free to do God's will without coercion or without hindrance is central to the good of the human person. And the church holds the respect for conscience so highly that the church teaches us that no one on earth, no human authority, not even the Pope, has the authority to force us to act against our conscience. Because God's law is higher than any human law. And so no human being can force us to commit evil. A person would violate the freedom of conscience when they try and force someone else to act against God's will, whether they're using threats or fines or imprisonment or the power of government to try and force someone to act against their conscience. And any violation of conscience or threat to do so should immediately raise serious red flags for us, because the freedom of conscience is so sacred. And if we don't have freedom of conscience, that we have no freedom at all. And it's one thing for a person to choose to commit sin on their own, but it's a very different level of evil for them to go out of their way to try and force somebody else against their will to commit evil. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution lists 5 rights. And the very first right listed is the freedom of religion. And not just the freedom of worship, meaning the ability to come here in church and worship God, but the free exercise of our religion, meaning our ability to live out our faith outside of the church walls. So a doctor or a nurse to live out their faith in their profession, or a business owner or an athlete or a teacher to have the freedom to live out their faith in whatever profession or state of life they're called to. And that's one of the beautiful things about our country, and something that we should be proud of, is that we cherish religious freedom as the most fundamental right, the first right listed in the Bill of Rights. But the reality is, religious freedom, and with it freedom of conscience, is under attack, both in the United States and worldwide. And so it's important for us to be informed about what's going on and be aware of the threats to such a fundamental right. And so I want to touch a little bit on both threats in the United States and a little bit about threats abroad. If we look inside the United States, first, the COVID shutdown. You know, many local jurisdictions have used that as an excuse to single out churches And while other businesses and organizations have been allowed to reopen, churches have not in certain places, or they've been placed under far more restrictive regulations than any other business. And so they're being deliberately and openly targeted by people in government who don't like religion and want to take away people's free right to worship. That's a very clear attack against constitutional rights and the basic human rights. And we can see it in California, we see it in Washington, D.C., and we see it in other places throughout the country. And so we need to be very aware of when religious freedom is openly being attacked. The second thing I would point to are those who are rioting and destroying our cities. What is their view of religious freedom? You know, there's politicians that are protecting rioters or who are sympathetic to this violent movement. Are those politicians going to protect our churches and our religious freedom from the mob? Does anyone's freedom, whether it's religious freedom, freedom of speech, or any other freedom, is anyone's freedom going to be respected by these violent mobs? And I think we all know the answer to that. If police are defunded, who's going to protect our freedom? Who's going to protect our churches? And so this is another very clear threat to religious freedom. Another area. If we look back at 2012, under Obamacare, an HHS mandate was issued that was, the intent was to force people against their conscience to pay for contraceptives and abortifacient coverage in their insurance policies, even if they had deeply held religious convictions to the contrary. And the figureheads, while many groups have sued, but the figureheads were the Little Sisters of the Poor because they refused to give in to this evil. And they've been in court for 8 years. And finally, in 2020, the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in their favor, upholding their freedom of conscience and their religious freedom. But unfortunately, there's somebody right now who's running for president who has openly said that if he's elected, he will go after the Little Sisters of the Poor and he will overturn the executive order granting them conscience protection. That should be a very clear red flag. And the same individual in his campaign has a list of policy recommendations that include the elimination of conscience protections for pro-life healthcare providers. What does that mean? That means that doctors and nurses could be coerced into performing abortions against their will. It's bad enough in our country to have legalized abortion, but then people are pushing for the repeal of the Hyde Amendment so government funding would go to pay for it. But it's a whole nother level when conscience protections are removed and people are going to be coerced into performing abortions against their will. This is a very real threat, and we should be aware of the agenda behind this. You know, there's people who have a very different image of what America means, and religious freedom does not have a place in that vision. And so as Christians, we give to God what belongs to God. And the sacredness of human life and the freedom of conscience and religious freedom belong to God and not to Caesar. If we look worldwide, religious persecution is skyrocketing. If we look at Christians alone, 260 million Christians are living under high levels of religious persecution. That's increased 10% since last year. If we look at a country like China, they are currently operating concentration camps for religious minorities, where they're engaging in activities like forced sterilization. There's international groups that are demanding investigations to determine what else is going on in these concentration camps. You know, the Chinese have gone into their churches and they've removed crosses and put up images of their communist leader instead. And the message is very clear. You worship communism, not God. You know, and this is an issue that's not a Democrat versus Republican issue. It's not a partisan issue because for many years we've ignored these religious abuses. whether it's for financial reasons or just people who don't want to stand up to it. But we finally have an administration that's been willing to stand up against religious persecution. And the president this year signed an executive order requiring that religious freedom issues be taken into consideration with all of our diplomatic and foreign involvement. This hasn't been done before, and it's a very important step to recognize that this is an issue that we need to be aware of in our foreign policy. But that could be very easily reversed depending upon the results of the election. But it's important for us to recognize that the United States is the leader in the free world. And what we do in terms of religious freedom will have a ripple effect that will ripple through the entire world. And if we're a nation that upholds religious freedom, that's good for religious freedom throughout the entire world. But if our nation, which is right now on the brink, if we fall into darkness and into religious persecution, that affects not only us, but if it affects people of faith throughout the entire world. And in an election year, the U.S. bishops have highlighted abortion as the preeminent moral issue. And rightly so, because it affects the lives of so many. But they've also included violations of religious freedom, and under that would be violations of freedom of conscience as an intrinsic moral evil. And the church teaches us that we should avoid supporting or voting for anyone who supports intrinsic moral evils if there is an alternative candidate. And so I encourage us to be prudent in who we vote for, because our nation is at a tipping point. And it's important for us to elect people who are going to give to God what belongs to God and to respect fundamental rights. And it's important for each one of us as well to pray for religious freedom, that people might learn to respect what belongs to God, and to pray for strength for Christians, millions and millions of them who are facing persecution, that they might remain strong even in the face of persecution.